future was born. You see, prior to that, ancient people always thought of history, of human, both human, individual human lives and human history was always cyclical. The world is going in circles. And by the way, this is taught today. You've all seen The Lion King. It's the circle of life. By the way, every time you show that movie to your kids or grandkids, you're teaching them paganism. But I'm only half kidding. Go ahead and enjoy the movie and then teach your kids and grandkids that history is not a circle, it's a line. It has a beginning and it will have an end in God. The book of Hebrews says that Abraham was headed toward a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. When in that moment, when Abraham heard the voice of God and set out, the idea of the future was born. That history is going someplace, that our lives are going someplace. It's not just a circle where at the end you become fertilizer for the next generation. And you can see why, in one sense, you can see why the ancients, they put no stock in the future because they believed that there were a bunch of gods and they were a lot like us. They were fickle and they were undependable and because they were just like us. Think about the Greek gods. It was very entertaining. It was a soap opera. They're fickle. They're jealous. You can't depend on them. They say one thing and they do another. They're constantly at war with each other. And so if you have that idea of the gods, the future is totally undependable. But things like the sun and the moon and the stars, they go in cycles. By the way, where Abraham and his father Terah lived in Ur was a center of moon worship. And in one sense, it really makes sense to worship the moon. It goes in predictable cycles. It's the circle of life. But with Abraham, for the first time, we see a revelation. God is speaking. The God who made the sun and the moon and the stars speaks to his chosen, this chosen couple, Abraham and Sarah. And God set them on a journey. Your life is not a cycle. Your life is a journey to a destination that I will show you. And God made promises. You're going to go to the land that I will show you. I will bless you. I will give you many descendants like the sands of the seashore, like the stars in the sky. I will make your name great. You'll be the father of a great nation, and through your offspring, all peoples will be blessed. So, Abraham and Sarah packed up the camels and they set out on a journey through the desert. And back to Cahill, he says that in that moment, and by the way, he says that little phrase, Abraham went. It's in verse 4 of our text. Abraham went. Cahill says those are the most powerful two words in all of literature. And in that moment, says Cahill, a new human emotion was born. Hope. Because if the future is dependable, if the future is in the hands of God who made us and who is leading us toward his future, wow, that makes all the difference in the world that I can depend on him, that he's leading to a good place. I may not know where it is and I don't know what it's going to be like, but I can go on this journey trusting that God is true to his word. Abraham redefined the nature of faith. Faith, ever since Abraham, faith is trusting God and leaving where you are to go to a destination that God has for you. In other words, faith is a journey. You've probably heard that image many times, the journey of faith. But you may not know how unique that is to biblical faith, that we're going someplace. Throughout the Bible, God seems to love roads. God tells Abraham and Sarah, go to the land that I will show you. God spoke to Moses and sent him to Pharaoh to lead God's people out of slavery in Egypt. God said, go, leave Egypt, and I will lead you into the wilderness. I will lead you through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. For Jesus, it meant walking the road to Jerusalem, answering his father's call, and walking the bitter road to the cross, where he offered up his sinless life in our place. For the Apostle Paul, it meant setting out, leaving Judea, the land of the Jews, and taking the gospel into Asia Minor, and then into southern Europe, into Greece, and finally to Rome. He dreamed of getting all the way to Spain. He didn't get there. Sometimes, well, for all of us, God calls us to a journey of faith. Sometimes the journey is physical. God says, pick up and go. Sometimes the journey is spiritual, emotional, or moral, but the central metaphor of faith throughout the Bible is that of a journey. And this is really a challenge, because we don't like change, do we? Personally, I hate change. People tease a lot about how churches don't like change, but it's just because we're made up of people. You've probably heard the old joke that the only person in the church who likes change is the baby in the nursery with a dirty diaper. Look around you right now. I'm about to prove that you don't like change, because you're sitting right now in the same place you sat last week. Some of you are so dependable, I could take roll while I preach. If you've recently moved, I mean physically moved, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, I hate moving. All the packing up and going to a new place and buying a house and getting the kids in school and finding a new church. Or if you're retired, moving can mean downsizing. What do you keep? What do you get rid of? It's all very stressful. Now, if you think it was easy for Abraham and Sarah, read between the lines of verse 4. It says, so Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, riding a camel, and they didn't even have Advil. It says, Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son. Remember Lot? He was Abraham's flaky nephew who got into some shady dealings in Las Vegas, I mean in Sodom. It says they took all the possessions they had gathered. And imagine the clatter of pots and pans, and there's crying babies, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, Phil, do not expect me to be Abraham. Do not expect me to be Sarah. I'm not into change. My favorite hymn is I Shall Not Be Moved. But you know as well as I do, dear friends, that the idea that we can control our future is an illusion. Change is going to come, whether we want it or not, whether we like it or not. Perhaps in the not too distant future, events will come along and knock you off center and send you down a road you never saw coming. It can be an expected change, like a graduation or a marriage, the birth of a child. It can be something good like retirement. Or it can be something completely unforeseen, the loss of a job, divorce, sickness, the death of someone you love very much. And suddenly, in spite of all of your planning and your best efforts, you will find yourself on a journey down a road that you didn't choose and that you didn't want. And you're going to an unknown destination. And the question of faith is, can you trust an unknown future to a known God? Because God has made himself known to you. Can you trust an unknown future to a known God? What really makes Abraham and Sarah unique? Well, and first of all, you know, God chose them. Why did God choose them? Because God chose them. That's the mystery of election. God makes choices. And God singled out this family, but it's for a much bigger purpose. Yeah, they are uniquely chosen, and the Jews are God's chosen people, but for a purpose that all the world will be blessed, that all peoples everywhere will be blessed. But the remarkable thing about Abraham and Sarah is that when God called, they chose to say yes. They responded to God's initiative of love by loving. The only thing that motivates this kind of change, this kind of journey, is love. God took the initiative with them in love, and they responded in love and said, yes, we will go. And by the way, archaeologists have unearthed the city of Ur and found that it was a fabulously wealthy and very, for its time, very advanced place. So God came to this affluent, successful, retired 75-year-old man who was spending his mornings playing golf and his afternoons napping. And God said, go. Pack it up. You're not going to stay here. You've played enough golf. God said, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. In other words, go from everything you've known, every comfort you've enjoyed, to the land that I will show you. And they went. Bless them. They went. Going Not knowing is the essence of biblical faith. Going, not knowing, is the essence of biblical faith. But we've dumbed it down, haven't we? We've redefined faith as believing in God. And you know as well as I do, Christians, there's a difference between believing in God and believing God. You hear that? The book of James says, oh, you believe in God. The demons believe too, and they tremble. There's a difference between believing in God and believing God. And it's right in, well, listen to Genesis 15:6. I read it earlier this morning as your assurance of God's forgiveness. Listen to Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. Notice it doesn't say Abraham believed in the Lord. It says he believed the Lord. God said, go, and he believed, and he went. So I want to ask you this morning, do you believe in God? Or do you believe God? Do you believe that he speaks the truth? And that nothing is more important than hearing and responding with faith. Abraham and Sarah believed God. They believed that God's word is true no matter what. So they left their former lives. They started this journey to an unknown country, believing that God is trustworthy, that God would lead, that God would provide. When Jesus began his public ministry in Galilee, the first words out of his mouth, he said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Turn around. And believe the good news. The proper response to God from Abraham down to this day is what the Apostle Paul calls the obedience of faith. To turn toward God. You've been moving away from God. You hear the gospel, you turn, and you move on a journey toward God. Jesus said, follow me. Take up your cross. Die to yourself. Follow me. You see, God has something far more interesting in mind for your life than just comfort and safety. And I like comfort and safety just as much as the next person. But God has something much more interesting in mind for your life. Living an Abraham kind of faith will often mean going against the grain of the culture of this world. It will not mean going with the flow of this world. It means going against It will mean following God against the currents of this world, and the world will think we're crazy. The world will even think we're evil. But it will mean going against the crowd. There was a wife. One morning she was watching the morning news. Her husband had already left for work. And she was watching the morning news, and there was a report from a helicopter reporter saying that on the freeway there was a car going the wrong way down the freeway, and be alert. So the woman thought, boy, I'd better call my husband. He's on that freeway right now. She called her husband on the cell phone, and she said, honey, watch out. There's some nut driving the wrong way on the freeway. And he replied, dear, there's not one, there's hundreds of them. Following God is sometimes going to feel like that. And we're going to go against the traffic. Abraham and Sarah had no idea where God was leading them or what God was thinking. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways higher than our ways. God does not submit his plans for our approval. God doesn't give reasons for what life brings. He gives something better. He gives promises. I will be with you. I will sustain you. I will lead you. I will provide. I will never fail you or forsake you. God gave Abraham and Sarah a promise. He gave them promise after promise. I will give you a child in your old age. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And through your offspring, all the world will be blessed. God was faithful to every promise. And brothers and sisters, that's why we're here this morning, worshiping the name of Jesus, because God was faithful to those promises. Through Abraham and Sarah's great, 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 great grandson, Jesus, who was God with us, one of us, born into this world, fully human and fully God, to go to the cross in our place, to break the power of sin and death, to reunite us with our Heavenly Father. Abraham and Sarah got a promise. Your descendants will be greater than the stars, more than the stars in the sky. You know what? You and I are numbered among those descendants. We are the children by faith of God. We're also the children of Abraham and Sarah. So I want to ask you again, are you willing to trust an unknown future to a known God? God is leading this church on a journey right now. 5 years ago, we're coming up on our fifth anniversary. 5 years ago, God said, leave, go. Leave behind security. Leave behind a comfortable place and go to the place I'll show you. And we're still on the way, aren't we? But every step of the way, God has provided everything we need. Everything. I couldn't have dreamed this place up and what we're paying for it. God is good. For your life, your individual journey as a Christian, for our journey together. Brothers and sisters, let's have a faith like Abraham and Sarah, to trust an unknown future to a known God. Let's pray together. Mighty God, your promises are sure. Your word is sure. You have spoken and you act according to your promises. You have throughout history. Most of all, in the gift of our Savior Jesus and his death on the cross, in his resurrection victory that you promised. You promised that you would defeat the power of death, and you did. And right down to this day, you are true to your word. And you've called us on a journey to follow you into a future that you hold, that you know, oh God. Teach us to walk by faith and not by sight. trusting in you as we move toward that city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.